Blog Talk Radio. know God is always great and mighty, mighty God, mighty King. We have so much to talk about, you know. I guess it's going to take, when we get into eternity, it's going to take probably years and years and years for us to talk about everything that we've learned on this earth alone. But, you know, we'll be so busy worshiping and being in the presence of our Lord Jesus, right? So I'm just looking forward to a great night tonight with you because Jesus is Lord. We're going to be talking to you tonight about stargates. And they're also called vortex or portals. And these are things that are very, very surprising because of the fact that really and truthfully, never, ever in my life thought that I would be seeing the things that we see calling themselves Christians walking around the world today. And some of these people are very, very famous. And some of them have very, very, very big followings, lots of money. And, you know, the devil fuels them to steal souls. So tonight, it's going to be very, very important that we stay alert and that we know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because, you see, the Christians that I run into a lot of times, they don't really realize the danger that they're in by just flying here and going there and doing that, and they don't stop to ask Jesus, should I do this? Should I go there? Because of the fact that Jesus knows where the ass poles are. And if you go and sit by a snake's hole, and it just looks like a little hole to you, or just another little black hole, and you've got a viper down in that hole, and he just suddenly comes up, sticks his head out, and bites you. That's what I'm talking about. We have to be on guard, because our souls are endangered. Right? So be sure that you're praying for your neighbors, praying for your families, and be sure that you will stand firm, because things are happening very rapidly now because Jesus is coming very soon. So we're just going to get right to some of the things that we're going to be talking about tonight. Here are some of the words describing an apparition. It's ghost, a spirit, a specter, a phantom, a ghoul, a vision. It can be an image of Mary, Joseph, Jesus, angels. And these things are supernatural. And they're from another, like another realm. And so if these things come into your house and appear to you, if you don't know how to protect yourself, for instance, and an angel just comes into your house and gets friendly with you, you know, the Bible says angels appear as angels of light. You all know that. It's an angels of light. And so what you need to know is that when a supernatural being appears to you, it's very, very important, extremely important, that you test the spirits to see if they be of God or not. because of the fact if you just start talking to supernatural beings without testing those spirits, the devil does appear, you know, as an angel of light. So it's very, very important for you as a born-again Christian to test the spirits, to know what you're doing in the supernatural spiritual realms, because there really is a supernatural spiritual realm. And so now, words describing a vortex, an eddy, or whirlpool. And these words also describe portals. And they're described as doorways, gateways, porches, entrances, entries, thresholds, and porticoes. Now, it's very interesting that we read the Bible in America for many years. Americans are not usually very supernatural type Christians at all. And when we read that Bible many years, some of these things are in the Bible: the gateway, the porch, the door, things like this. And we read them, and I don't think that sometimes we even stopped to try to understand what they were even talking about. And now in John chapter 151, the Bible says, "And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Now, Jesus said that. But what we're looking, usually we see the angels descending and ascending on the Son of Man. But we never paid too much attention about heaven open, the heavens open. And you see the heavens has a gate. And not everybody's going to get to go through that gate. And St. Peter, he's just not the keeper of that gate. And so you just need to be very, very careful. When someone says, do you want to go up to the third heaven? I can take you there. I don't want anybody taking me to the third heaven that's living alive in the flesh, except the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. You got to be careful today. Amen. So looking at Psalm 78, 23, 24, the Bible says, he opened the doors of heaven and had rain down manna. Who opened that door? God opened the door. Man didn't go up there and open the door. You see, and these scriptures show us that God was about to work a miracle of testation of a particular thing, and so you have to see that God can open the door, but I don't see that he has given a man in the Old Testament or the New Testament sanction or the authority to go and open up heaven's doors. And so we see Nathaniel, heavens are open throughout the Word of God. And so you must understand that angels are real. The Bible says that angels of God are real, but the Bible also says that the angels of the devils are real. And I'll just give you a few scriptural references that you can jot down and look up later But angels of God are pure and holy beings that dwell in heaven, and they are employed by God as ministering spirits to our world. According to Hebrews 1:14, good angels are represented in the scripture as being under their protection. Psalms 91:11-12. Genesis 28:12. They are agents by which God often expresses his will to men. Hebrews 2:2 and Galatians 3:19. They represented as a strengthening force to Jesus Christ and ministered unto him. Thus they aided him in the wilderness in Mark 1:13, in the garden, Luke 22:43, and they were present when he rose from the dead in Matthew 28:2-4, which meant that by ascending and descending unto him, it is probable that he meant that Nathanael would have evidence that they came to his aid and that he would have some sort of protection and assistance from God, which would show more fully that he was the Messiah. Now, his life and his many deliverances from dangers, his wisdom to confute his skill, cunning adversaries, the scenes of his death, the attendances of angels at his resurrection, may all be represented by angels descending upon him. All would show Nathanael and other disciples most clearly that he was the Son of God. Now, you see, there are also evil angels. And today, there are politicians and many self-styled Christian leaders who are opening stargates, wormholes, and they are inviting supernatural beings, fallen angels, to come through the spiritual veil into our visible world. And the demonic teaching goes something like this. A group of master souls, these are so-called aliens or angels, have made themselves known to the world that they may give guidance to those who in these troubled times are seeking enlightenment. And we are seeing the end results of communication with these illumined one angels, or these demons, motivated by the New Age to point the way to self-realization, godhood, through inner mysteries of their teachings, of their coming, of their Christ. And so what you have to see here is that you have to understand the two supernatural spiritual forces. And evidently, both spiritual forces enter into our spiritual realm or our material realm through a vortex or a portal. They come through the same way. And since these angels can appear as angels of light, they appear as being your friend. And this is why Jesus said, test the spirits to see if they be of God. The trouble is today, most people, they're not testing the spirits at all. They just received anything supernatural as being of God. Now, I'm going to give you an experience of how this can work. I'm not going to say any names. This in an email. I woke up from a dream one night back in April, and I saw a tall, shadowy being standing near my bed. As I screamed, the being moved without walking toward the wall, as though it were in a vortex. As the being moved away from me, it became smaller in size, and it neared the eye of the vortex. At this point, the being suddenly disappeared. Then I fell back to sleep, but I remembered the event the next morning, and I know that it was fully conscious. I was fully conscious when this happened. Now, here's another eyewitness account. I was on my morning walk, and as I was entering a grassy area at the park near my home, when I happened to look up into the sky just above the tree line to the west, I saw a silver disc-like craft hovering there, and I observed it for about 20 seconds before this craft seemed to simply vanish. It did not move in any direction. It was just gone. And so now these two eyewitness accounts demonstrate that something strange is going on, perplexing and shrouding in mystery. And the object or beings just simply vanish into thin air. It's probably beyond a physical and mental explanation. But there is something going on in the realms of otherworldly beings. And Christians have been caught off guard because they have not been taught to be aware of the fact that just because they're Christians, that they don't have to worry about these supernatural things. You see, the truth is, they do, because these supernatural things that I just described, they can come into your bedroom at night too. And they can also fool you. They can have interaction with you, that if you interact with them, what's going to happen to you is, if you interact with these beings, if you speak to them, then you've opened a door to your spirit for them to come, and they will come. So you have to test the spirits. And what I would immediately do, and what I do, because I have seen some of these things happening, is this. What I do is I immediately bind them, cover myself with the blood of Jesus and the wall of fire, and command them to leave. And if they're not a god, they'll instantly disappear. Now, we're going to teach some more, but I have a telephone number with a light up, and so we're going to find out what this call is about. 215, you're on the air.
Pastor Pat, hi, it's Paula. How are you?
Hey, Paula. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just called in for a little bit tonight. I'm sorry I've been missing and missing all of you, but you've certainly been in my thoughts and prayers, and just wanted to call and let you know I still love you guys, and just been a little busy doing some other things.
Yeah, well, we've been missing you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How is the kid?
Oh, he's doing very well, thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God is good, blessing us quite well.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're talking tonight about false, opening up the stargates.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't really gotten deeply into that subject yet. I was just, Paula, explaining to them how spiritual beings can appear to you, and that not all spiritual things are from God.
Right.
And how you have to protect yourself. Do you have anything to add to that?
Oh, I was listening, and I think you're absolutely correct that we have to certainly be conscious of the spirit realm, both of the good and the evil. I think that what we don't realize as Christians especially is that we are people who live in two worlds. I mean, we live, of course, in the physical, the natural world, but we also live in the spiritual world. And, you know, just like there are, you know, angels, there are also demons, and they're evil, or what we call evil angels as well. So we have to be conscious of what we do. I think it was you telling me one time before we were talking a little bit about fasting that you have to be very careful about fasting. Because as you fast, you open yourself up to the spiritual realm, period. And so only when you are praying and studying the word, you know, and you're in that spiritual realm, are you able to access the things of God. Because, you know, fasting itself will lead you into the spiritual realm. That's why we know there are witches that fast and Satanists that fast. Because fasting, where you're simply shutting down your body of food, it opens you up to the spirit realm. And that's why people say, oh, I saw this when I was fasting and so forth and so on. But were you really praying? Were you, praying in the spirit, and were you in the word? Because, you know, fasting is a very serious thing, because that also opens you up to the spiritual realm. And then there are things that you would be exposed to then too. So that's why you have to be careful about, you know, being a part of about seeing these different things that come from the spirit realm. Is this thing of God? And that's
what we have to know.
What
about some of these people that they go on fast to lose weight, juice fast and things like that, but their purpose is just to lose weight? Don't you think that they're in danger also?
Yes. I mean, one thing I can tell you as I learned more about fasting is that, you know, it's really dangerous to fast without prayer and Bible study as well as praying in the spirit. Because I'm telling you, you open yourself up to all types of spiritual activity that includes demonic activity. That's why you have to be very, very careful. And you have to keep your spirit, you know, purged, because, you know, anytime you go on a fast, that's what you're doing. You are accessing the spiritual world, letting them know that you are, you know, basically treading on their territory. And listen, the demons know it. But the angels know it, you know, the devil knows it, and God knows it too. But you have to be able to access the right spirit. That's why the Bible says, you know, there is, you know, one spirit, the Holy Spirit. That's the only true spirit. There are all other spirits, but the only one true spirit is the Holy Spirit of God. But there are plenty of other spirits out there, and you don't want to get yourself caught up or contaminated with those other demonic spirits. And what people don't realize too, Pastor Pat, is like a lot of Christians, we don't like fasting and praying because we just don't like that whole deny yourself thing. Despite what Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me and deny yourself, we don't really like that part about denying ourselves. That's why we love to eat. But listen, people that are heavily into witchcraft, and you know Bishop Kanko, who was there as well, these people sincerely fast. Yeah. I mean, witches go on serious fast, and they will fast and pray against you to make sure that things happen against you, that things happen in your life, or that they're trying to do a particular thing. And so, you know, a fasting is no new practice. Anytime, but anyone who's understanding the spirit world, whether they be of the demonic nature or of the spirit of God, they know that fasting is a very, very important tool.
Well, you know, like the what fasting really does is it puts you up into that spiritual realm that even if you can't see apparitions clearly, like some people can, it opens your mind so that those spirits can clearly speak into your mind.
Absolutely.
And
your dreams as well, Pastor Pat, if you're fasting too, you know, these demonic spirits can also manifest themselves in your dreams.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is very interesting because, you see, we try to tell Christians all the time to be very, very careful about their spiritual atmosphere that mm-hmm. they keep, because what I have found is that Christians just walk around in the flesh, and they're never, ever aware of the of where they are, what they're doing, where they go to. Like when I used to travel and go into churches to minister, I just didn't leave my home in a car and get in a car and ride over to the church and go in there. I did spiritual warfare and prayer. And I know that you're evangelizing a lot now. Mm-hmm. And you do that same thing, right? It's like a
protection. I have to tell you what happened to me, though. I think we had discussed it, but I'll tell you what happened. Probably about a month or so ago, I decided one Sunday to go to a friend of mine. This guy's a bishop. He has a church. And I decided to go to a friend of mine's church, one of the many, you know, pastors that I know here. And mm-hmm. I just, you know, I didn't tell him I was coming. I just woke up that morning and said, you know, I think I'm going to go here. So I did, and I've known this person for a while. And I said, well, let me just go. And I've actually ministered, you know, at the church, you know, different times. And so I show up there, and, you know, I'm at the service, and the pastor begins to preach. But I got to tell you, before I get to the church, I had been extremely productive. For example, I'm up at like 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm doing all these things and, you know, just handling different types of things that I, you know, had not handled before and really the day before. So I'm just very productive, just getting things out and just getting things moving. And then I said, you know, I have to take a break because I have to go to church and just, you know. So I did that. And so when I get to this church and I'm sitting there and I listen to the pastor, he gets up and he's preaching. And I noticed that what he was preaching, I said, you know, this is not right. You know, the word really was not right. And it wasn't correct, the main thing. And so it really disturbed my spirit. And so I sat there for a while, and then I just basically got up and left, okay? So when I got up and left, a friend of mine asked me if we could go to lunch, you know, after church. So I went to lunch with a friend of mine. And when it was all said and done, I got back home, and, you know, I wasn't able really to, you know, to do much else. And so it was... Then, you know, the Lord spoke to me, and he says to me, he says, you know, look at the time that you spent from the time that you went to church. And Pastor Pat, it was like 9 hours had gone that I had, like, basically wasted because I was very productive. And the Lord was telling me. And so I couldn't bring myself to, like, you know, do what I was doing before I had gone to church. And so I just laid down, and I, you know, woke back up later. And the Lord began to minister to me and dealt with me. And he said to me so clearly, he said, do you know why you can't do what you were doing before you went to the church? And I said, no, but I've noticed a marked difference, you know, in me. He said, because, you know, that pastor, you know, had this spirit of laziness on him. And I know the pastor, and I know the Lord was right about that. The other thing he said to me, he said, and this pastor does not love people. Well, I knew that from the sermon, because what he was saying in the sermon, and I got the same thing. And so the Lord spoke to me, and so he said, well, and what is on you is that spirit that actually was coming out of him. Because, see, what people don't realize is that as they preach or as they speak, they are releasing these spirits, whatever they are, okay? So now this spirit then began to bind me. Like you always say, you know, we should pray before we go to these churches. And I did not that day. And so then now I could not function as I did before I went. And then I wasted like 9 hours. It was so profound to me that God really just opened my eyes to make me understand that we really have to do this now more than ever before we go into these churches. Because, and not that this pastor was a wicked person, because he's not. But the problem was, you know, he had so many demons that he didn't even realize it. And that's what happens to a lot of people that are in church, that they are bound by so many demons that they don't even realize it. So he's doing the best he can do in terms of preaching. But the fact is this, you cannot take people where you have not gone. And yeah. you cannot show people what you have not seen. So if he hasn't been delivered, if he hasn't seen, you know, the power of Jesus, if he doesn't understand the love of God, then how can he show someone else? People are only as free as you are.
Yeah.
And so that's what the Lord showed me. So he told me to raise up, and I cast his spirit off me, you know, just like mm-hmm. you taught me. I caught that thing up, you know, and after that I was fine. But
yeah.
I'm telling you, it was so profound because, you know, that was just something that I noticed that was just so very, very obvious. And think about this, because I understand spiritual warfare, and the Lord spoke to me, I was able to do this. But what about all the thousands of yet millions of people that go to church and they're exposed to these things and they're being bound every day in their lives and they don't even see it?
No, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they just walk in, sit down, listen, get up and leave, and go home.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Christians go to church in what I call the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this modern church that we're going to talk about tonight is a church of the flesh. It's a church of worldly music, and it's a church where they can touch you intellectually, and they can make you feel good too.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just need to really begin to see that we're in a spiritual warfare.
Yes.
And when you're in a spiritual warfare and you begin to do spiritual protection, then you know, my God, how did I survive all these years
mm-hmm.
without knowing these things, right?
Yes, only by the grace of God. I was reading something just the other day, Pastor Pat, by a noted author from many, many years ago. He wrote this book back in like the 1920s and 1930s. But one of the things he said in the book, he was saying how, you know, the church at that time had become an agent of the state or an agent of the government.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that was just so, you know, wild, because that was like back in the 30s. And
mm-hmm.
is like now more than ever the church an agent of the state or the agent of the government. And that, you know, it's the church that, you know, that does not set your thinking straight, you know what I'm saying, that doesn't give you the right frame of mind in terms of the way to think. It doesn't really teach you about faith. It doesn't really, you know, it is not the it's not used for the equipping of the saints as the word of God says. It's really just a tool to promote the government or the state's interests. You know, and that
mm-hmm.
is, I don't mean to sound like I'm in some kind of communistic system or something. I'm just saying that, you know, when you look at the church, and I know even, you know, where I'm in a big city, and I can tell you this because I'm heavily involved in the church arena as well. I mean, the churches here are heavily controlled by the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just really crazy because most cities are heavily Democratic and most Democratic strongholds. And so, you know, it's like what the Democratic Party wants and what they do. And it's like this is the whole slate, even in the church.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, and I really see how the church is really an agent of the state or the agent of the government, that they don't teach you how to think. They tell you what to think.
Yeah.
And they would tell you all these, you know, stories, wonderful stories about the Bible, but they're just stories. See, that's why people don't really have faith, because they're just stories. Because the people who are putting forth these stories, they're not required to walk in faith. They're not required to walk in truth. They're not even required to really know Jesus.
Yeah, right. Right.
And that's what we see here now, you know, in these last days. But I'm just convinced that the Word of God says that, you know, the gates of hell will not prevail against His church. And that's why I know that our Father in heaven is raising up, you know, people that are true warriors at heart and at spirit who are interested in the gospel unadulterated, and
mm-hmm.
will stand flat-footed and will tell the truth about what thus saith the Lord and what the Word of God is as the Word as a foundation. That's what he's doing. Why?
Yeah.
Because the church has become a wicked agent of the government. And even if you're a person who really believes in the truth and you really believe in holiness, then you're kind of ostracized even in church.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, where else can you go where this is supposed to be the standard. But nowadays, more and more, you see that it's not the standard. I'm a part of this group called Start Church. It's kind of like a legal compliance group. And one of the things they sent me just yesterday, Pastor Pat, they sent me a story about there were some pastors in Houston, Texas, and the pastor and his wife were both jailed. They went to jail. They were charged with theft and so forth, because what happened was from 2004 to 2007, they found that they had taken over $430,000 of the tithes and offering from the church, and they were gambling in the casinos with it.
Oh, my God.
That's what they found. And so they were, you know, jailed, I think it was last week. They didn't get the name of the church or the pastors, but, you know, we were just looking at it from a legal compliance standpoint, you know, just trying to let, you know, church leaders and pastors know certain obligations they have, you know, based upon the law. And mm-hmm. So, you know, these people had, and the church members, they had interviewed the church members, they were saying, oh, the pastors were just so loving, they were just so kind, and they had no idea that they had a gambling problem.
Yeah.
They were gambling the church's funds.
Wow.
And so these are the things, I mean, and we see headlines like this all the time. They have become commonplace in our society. And it's really sad, but the fact is this, you know, our churches do not put forth the true standard of God.
Yeah. My Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I haven't ever been able to get away with anything because my CPA used to be an IRS agent or
mm-hmm.
work for him or something. And so every year when I do the books, he goes over
mm-hmm.
every little penny.
Right.
I remember one year I got a knock at the door
mm-hmm.
and it was an IRS agent, and my husband was still alive. And we had both of our Cadillacs were in the ministry, and we used to put them in the ministry because then we wouldn't have to pay taxes, but then we paid for them personally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they came, and so we just sent them over to the CPA, and so they were talking to him, and they said, well, these Cadillacs are old Cadillacs, he said. But he said, I'm just going to charge them anyway. So the our CPA said, just go ahead and pay it. It was something like $1,000 or something, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he said, just go ahead and don't fool with them. So that was many years ago. But they check. They really do check about what churches do if they're one of those 106. What did they call them, 103Cs?
501C3, yes.
Yeah, that. There was one of those pastors in Jacksonville, and she got on the radio, and she said that she goes over to Disney World on the weekends, and she says, I can spend $10,000 a weekend. And
wow.
I'm thinking, my God, and you've got people giving in to your...
Right, that's the church's
ministry,
money. Yes.
For you to go, I mean, you know, people need to get spiritual, and they need to know that God's people are spiritual and loving pastors and ministers that are concerned about their souls.
Right.
Because the Bible says that's what we're going to give an account
mm-hmm.
for every soul that comes up under our ministry. So I'm very particular about people's souls, and I'm very concerned about them. And sometimes I'll even have to roughly tell them things that I know other preachers just wouldn't tell them
mm-hmm.
because they think, well, you know, if I tell this person this, they're going to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to tell them the truth,
right?
Even if it hurts, because if you're responsible for a soul, that's a very heavy duty responsibility.
Right.
And so I don't play around with Christianity like a lot of them do, because you know, we're ministering for people's eternal lives.
Right.
And I know that it bothers me, for instance, whenever whenever somebody will come to the church, or even when they come up here on Blog Talk, and you've established a relationship with them, and then all of a sudden, something, you don't know what, they just quit coming,
mm-hmm.
they quit talking to you, and they won't take your phone call to find out what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And usually a third party has gotten in between you and that person mm-hmm. and has caused the split. But they would rather believe people that are not paying a price for the gospel
mm-hmm.
than somebody that's paying their whole life for the sake of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm also concerned about in situations like that is not only to try to find out what did I do, but to find out if they need to repent.
Mm-hmm.
If you hold alt against your brother or your sister, you're supposed to go to them.
Right.
And if you don't go to them, what happens is you cause that other party a lot of long hours of regrets and thinking about what did I do, what did I say, rejecting spirits try to crawl on you. I mean, they'd have no idea what
mm-hmm.
they do. And I find this up on the internet more than in life, because sometimes people that come up on the internet, they don't, like you and I have met, we love
mm-hmm.
each other, and you know me and I know you. But if you were just a voice up on the radio, sometimes people just don't love you as much as it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I say that we have to be aware that on Blog Talk and on the Facebook, that we, as children of God, that we are people behind the typing and behind the voice and
mm-hmm.
behind the ministry. And we
yes.
can't treat each other like people in the world treat each other.
Right.
And so I would just say to those kind of people that if you've broken relationships, you need to restore the relationship for your own sake, not for the even for the sake of the person.
Right.
Because of the fact the devil has an open door. When you listen to gossip and you react on it and
yes.
you just stop talking to the person because you heard something or whatever
yes.
it was, you're the one that got hurt. The other person is usually strong enough just to get over it eventually, but they do go through a lot of torment before they do. So I don't know why I thought of that. Something you said must have tipped it off.
Well, we're talking about it, and, you know, what you said kind of tipped me off, and I want to go to Luke chapter 8. Lord, drop this in my spirit. Luke chapter 8 and verses 4 through 15. I just want to read these, and we can talk about it, because you raised some very, you know, good observations about, you know, church or about ministry, how, you know, people leave and walk away. But the Bible says in Luke 8, verse 4, it says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable." Verse 5 says, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. Verse 7, and some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare a fruit 100-fold.
Mm-hmm.
And when he cried, when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.' And his disciples asked him, saying, 'What might this parable be?' And he said unto them, 'Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved.
Mm-hmm.
They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Verse 14 says, and that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit, patience. Bring forth the fruit with patience. I just want to say that, you know, the Bible is clear when Jesus gave us this parable about the sower and the seed. The Bible says that, you know, the seed was the word of God. So in other words, you know, he had really good seed. I mean, he had good seed. But, you know, the deal was the seed fell on these different types of ground. Some fell by the wayside and the rock. And one of the things the Lord had really revealed to me is that, you know, when seed falls by the wayside, the Bible says, and then the fowls or the birds came and ate it up. You know, now you have an option. You can, you know, stay there in the field, or you can go chase the birds. You know, so whenever you're putting, you know, the seed out here, and you get people that were coming, and then they stop coming, all we can say is, you know what, the birds got them. The birds got them, because I can't leave the field and go and chase you. You understand? Because then I'm leaving the field. And then the Bible says, and then some fell upon, you know, the rock. Okay, and you know, it's clear that there are people who receive the word, they're happy about it, they have joy, but as soon as hard times come or as trials come, and as they do with all of us, then these people fall away. And you're like, well, what happened to sister so-and-so? What happened to brother so-and-so? Though, listen, they fell away. You can't go chase them, you know, because the Bible declares it. And that's not the end of the story, because the Bible says even some fell amongst thorns. These are the people that, you know, they were doing very good, you know, but what happened was then things came up and choked the word out of them.
Yeah.
What happened to sister so-and-so? Man, I'm just really, listen, the Lord told me this. He said, you just keep sowing. You just keep sowing. Because eventually the seed is going to fall on good ground.
Yeah.
And the Bible says when that happens is that there's some that yield 60, some one, you know, some 30, and some 100. In other words, when the seed falls on the good ground, there are those who have the talent to take it to multiply 30-fold. There are those who have talent to multiply 60-fold. There are those who multiply the talent, you know, 100-fold. But we can't get weary about what we have to do. We have a good seed. It's the word of God. Just keep sowing. Just keep sowing. Just keep sowing.
Yeah, just keep
and
sowing.
I think a lot of times, a lot of us, you know, tend to get distracted, not understanding what Jesus meant about the parable. We cannot leave the field to chase these people. Why? Because the Lord said this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen.
Yeah,
I worked with brother so-and-so for 10 years. I can't believe that. Well, what happened? Listen, he was amongst the thorns. That's all you can say. And there are people, you know, who really wish they could change. Oh, well, you know, I got to go get Sister Ann. I got to go get Brother Fred. Oh, I got to change it. You're not going to change it. You're not going to change it because the Bible declares this is what happens. And we know it's the law of averages. It's the law of averages. If you preach the gospel to 10 people, one person, you know, is going to get it. If you preach it to 20, two are going to get it. Well, why is that? It's the law of averages. Everybody will not accept Jesus. Everybody will not want him. And those who do say they receive him, different things happen, and they lose faith, they lose heart, and listen, they walk away. It's painful for us who as Christians and ministers, you know, to see this happen. But it happens all the time, and it hurts us, which really it shouldn't. Why? Because Jesus said it was going to happen. Well, he said, listen, we just got to keep sowing. You got to keep sowing. So as we keep sowing, keep sowing, keep sowing, it's going to fall on good ground. There are going to be some good people that receive this good news. And they are going to take this thing and multiply this thing and do great exploits in the name of Jesus. Now, there are some that are not going to do as great as others. But the fact is this. The Bible says there were some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. All we have to do is, you know, whenever you see people, they were coming to church, they stopped. Well, I guess the birds got them. That's all you can say. That's really all you can say.
Yeah.
Why? Because the word of God has already spoken it. And, you know, there are people who go, well, I wish I could change. I'm going to see what I can do about that. Listen, there's nothing you can do about that. You know, like, for example, we know the sun comes up in the east.
Yeah.
Well, I wish that was different. Well, we can't change that. And we ain't God. You know, just like a, you know, I was listening to one of a friend who has an old tape, and one thing he said about this, he was saying that, you know, how the sun comes up in the east, and you got people that want to change that. Listen, you can't change that. Why? Because listen, we didn't set it up that way. Whenever you get your own plan, you can do what you want to do. But right now, these are the rules, and so that's the way it is. Some rules you just can't change.
Yeah.
And you know the parable of the sower and the seed. We just can't change that. Some people will get it. Some people will not. Some people will get it for a while. They're great. They're happy. They're joyful. And then they fall away.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, another thing that caused, I think, some to fall like that, too, is pride.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of times they come in and they feel so great and little things start happening in their lives. And the next thing they haven't sat around long enough to understand that there's an anointing, you know, but there's Jesus. And everything that a minister does, to him be the glory.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because of how smart Paula is and and Pat is. It's not how the intellect or even the teachings or the backgrounds that we have.
Mm-hmm.
It's his anointing.
Right.
But if we start walking around thinking that we're more than whatever we are, then we have to backslide a little or backstep a little, because God will not allow anyone to share his glory. And sometimes a lot of it is just pure flesh, you know, of being immature.
And most of the things that we do, Pastor Pat, especially as we see in church today, is, of course, flesh. Why? Because we like staying in the flesh.
So yeah.
If we then, you know, are to remain in the Spirit, that's too much of a sacrifice. See, we don't want to repent. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name, that's what Christians mean. He says, listen, would humble themselves and pray. He says, and would seek my face, not my hand, but seek my face. He said, and look, and would turn from their wicked ways. And what really got me about that scripture, I said, oh, my God, your people, Lord, has wicked ways? It's right there in the Bible.
Yeah.
His Christians, his people, called by his name, have wicked ways.
Yes, they do.
Why? Because we refuse to repent. If we repent, not only would our lives be healed, our families would be healed, our cities would be healed, our nations would be healed. It all starts with one person simply repenting. That's what it starts with. You know, and people talk about revival, oh, God's going to send a revival, but he cannot send a revival until you've experienced revival in your own life.
That's right. That's
how do you know that Jesus is a reviver? How do you know that Jesus is the one that can change things or that can deliver me or that can purify me? Wait, listen, you don't know that if you have never personally experienced revival. And even though you can experience a revival, if you then, after the revival, quote, wears off, if you will, and you go back to what you was doing, then you have not repented. Because repent means that I've turned away from these wicked ways, and I'd much rather die than go back to them. But see, we don't look at it like that, because we know God's merciful, he loves us, we do what we want, and he understands, but that's not the Bible. And the Bible says when he comes back, he's looking for a holy people without spot or wrinkle, without blemish. Those are the people that he's coming for. So everyone else that's involved in everything that is not holy, that goes against Galatians 5, you know, 19-22, you know, then, listen, the Bible is clear. He that is holy, let him be holy still. That's what Jesus is going to say when he stands up when he comes back. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. That's what Jesus says. I didn't say it. That's what he says. And the choice is always up to you. Do you want to repent? Do you want to keep gossiping? Do you want to keep backsliding? Do you want to keep fornicating? Do you want to keep adulterating? Well, I mean, do you want to keep, what are the things that you want to keep doing? Fine, go ahead. But understand there's a price to pay. And the Bible says the price or the wages of that type of stuff is death.
Mm-hmm.
Just like whenever we work and we get paid for it, like when I work, you know, of course they give me a paycheck. The same thing happens here, you know, as we deal with God. Whatever work you put down, you are going to get paid for that. And if you are working, like you said, in the flesh and putting this fleshly stuff out and that's all you're doing, your wages is death.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says.
That's the word, yeah.
And we just don't really, you know how to really share these things with people so that they're able to really see the truth of what it really is. Because remember, people's minds, I'm just talking about Christians, I'm not talking about other people. Christians' minds are bombarded with so many different things, from the internet to the smartphone, to the, you know, you get the emails, you got so many things that are coming at you all the time, from marketing to promotions, from jobs to, I mean, the devil keeps things coming at us. Why? And next thing you know, 24 hours have passed, you haven't prayed, haven't had Bible study, I'm just busy, just trying to make it every day, but, you know, I've been on the phone, you know, if I look at 24 hours in a day, I spent, you know, maybe 5 hours on the phone collectively. You know, I've been on emails. I've been working. We've done all these things that just the devil just throws at, just to bombard our minds to keep us from our source. And our power source is Jesus Christ. How do we connect to that source? It's through prayer. It's through fasting.
Mm-hmm.
It's through, you know, praise. It's through those things. Just like if I'm in a room and I want to, you know, turn the lamp on, I got to plug the lamp in first.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, so I understand, we got to understand who is our power source. And then, and then we get depressed and we have all these other issues the devil puts upon us, you know, our emotional issues and all these other things, and we end up having the same problems the world have. Why? Because we have not repented. We have not turned from those things. For example, you know, we ought to make a vow. I don't care what happens. Before I leave my house, even if I'm late, I'm going to make sure I have my prayer and Bible study.
Yeah.
And
right.
If I got to explain to my boss at my job why I was late, I'm going to tell you why I was late. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, see, nowadays, like I told you about the pastors, I'm going to email you that story too, the pastor stole his money at this church in Houston. Listen, we don't like accountability, especially in church, of all the places where we need to be accountable. We don't want to be accountable to anybody because we feel like, and the devil has convinced us that this is our life and we can do what we want to do. And that's what people believe, Pastor Pat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Christianity is a relationship with the Lord.
It is.
And his word. And then it's a love for his people.
Mm-hmm.
And people that think that they can just do whatever they want to do and it's all right,
mm-hmm.
What happens is it boomerangs back on them.
Right.
And you see, that's the point that I was trying to make, is that it seems like they were going to just have such a good ride, and then all of a sudden something happens, and it usually happens very, very suddenly. And when it happens very suddenly, it's usually because they've listened to gossip or slander or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean, over the years of the ministry,
mm-hmm.
I've ministered to many, many people that have gotten very, very sick,
mm-hmm.
because they get bitter,
mm-hmm.
and because they listen.
Right.
See, if you listen to someone slandering and gossiping about someone, and if you listen to it, you're just as guilty,
right,
as that person is.
And you become a dumping ground for,
right,
for all of the ill that they're speaking and putting out against someone. And if you're a dumping ground, we know the dumping grounds are not good for anything, because
mm-hmm.
now you have your mind and your spirit has been polluted. So now how can you praise, how can you pray, how can you fast, how can you walk in the truth with a polluted spirit?
Right. And then you turn and you start going backwards instead of forwards too.
Because that's the only direction you can go when you have trash in your spirit.
You got to get your bottle clean every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to take these kind of slandering, gossiping spirits, and you have to just say, look, Here's what we tell our people at church. Just say, look, let's go to that person and confront that person together if that's what you think about her because or him, because you see they need our prayers. If you do that, the person that's gossiping and slandering, they will change the subject and you cannot get them to confront the person. Because it's done in the under the shadow of darkness, and it's done to hurt that other person. It's not of God. God is not going to get up and say anything bad about you, Paula, through me to someone because you're doing the work of the Lord. And he's not going to tell me to slander your name. I mean, even if I didn't agree with something you said, that would be between you and the Lord. It wouldn't be for me to judge that unless it was false doctrine.
Right.
So that's what I'm talking about. It's not it's not you or me. We're reaching out for those that are entrapped into this spirit because they connect in and they're yakety-yak, like you say, a dumping truck. And the next thing you know, instead of talking about Jesus and what Jesus is doing, they're sitting around slandering other people. And so I just say that God has been very gracious to me over the years, and I really am too busy to sit on the phone and to talk about things unless it's, you know, concerns the ministry or helping someone. I just don't have time for any of that stuff, to be honest with you.
And I can tell you this, Pastor Pat. I mean, we'll just take, so we're talking about, you know, for example, the gossiper or the slanderer. We'll just take that for example. One of the things the Lord shared with me is that, you know, we know the whole principle or law of reaping and sowing, that which we really, you know, talk about a lot, but I don't think we fully understand the depth of it. And, you know, he said to me that, you know, of course, whatever you plant is going to come up. So you have this gossip or this slanderer, right? So when they're putting things out here, this is what they plant, okay? And he said to me, the second thing is that don't expect something different from what you planted. In other words, if you're going to plant apple seeds, don't expect an orange tree to come up. It's not happening. If I've been constantly being, you know, slanderous, you know, and blaspheming and gossiping, then, you know, I can't expect people then to speak good about me.
That's true.
So because now, you know, I understand that whatever I plant is going to come up, okay? The other thing that they taught me is that, you know, the thing about the whole planting thing is that, you know, it takes some time because, you know, the seed goes through, or the planting phase goes through darkness and then water and light, rain and all that, which we know that. If we went out and planted a seed today, we come back tomorrow, nothing will have happened. But it goes through, you know, a processing period, if you will. Okay, so they think everything is going okay. But then what happens is that then this thing that you planted begins to come up, right? And so the other thing that I thought was so profound he revealed to me was this. You always get back more than what you planted.
Yeah.
For example, whenever you plant corn, you're not just going to get an ear of corn. You're going to get a whole stalk. And whenever you can eat an apple, oh, the apple tastes great, I'll just take some of the seeds and just give me some apples and plant it. You're going to get a whole tree of apples. So it doesn't matter if it's good or bad. You're going to always get back a whole lot more. You're going to get back this harvest than what you planted. That's why, you know, people get, and then they want to run to the church, run about, oh, I got these problems. But what have you been planting? Because
there's
nothing anybody can do about your process of planting. Now is your harvest season.
That's right. That's good.
And there's nothing
that
I can do about that. You know,
like
Pastor,
that.
Please help me, please. There's nothing I can do about that. I can't pray for you to help you. Why? Because you got to recognize what season that you're in and what you've been putting out there.
That's right.
And it doesn't matter, Pastor Pat, whether it's good or bad. That's what people don't realize. That's why I always try to encourage people, and even myself, I try to be conscious about what? Planting good things. So when my harvest comes in, I want to always have a harvest of good, not of evil.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got a caller. Let's see what they want, Paula.
Okay. I'm not going to be on much longer, but I will certainly take the call.
Okay. Judge Paula. 8:30, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Good evening, Pastor
Pam. I have Judge Polo on tonight.
I've been hearing y'all. I've been listening to y'all. Listen, I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You started out talking about vortexes and portals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all that. What do you do in order to, do you close them up? The reason I'm asking is because I live in an area where there's a lot of witchcraft going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a lot of strange things. So what do you do in order to stop their activity? Is it possible?
Oh, yes. I was going to get into that deeper, but Judge Paula said that she wasn't going to be able to stay up long. And so we were just chit-chatting back and forth, and she's a wonderful lady of God, and I wanted her to get in, and we just talked about whatever we wanted to talk about. But I'm going to get more deeply into that when the judge hangs up. But
Could I say something, Pastor Pat?
Yes, ma'am.
Ma'am. I'm glad you called in. I'm glad you were listening. Hope you really get something out of this. But I just want to say this. So many times, you know, we look at the witchcraft and things around us that's going on, and, you know, we are just, you know, kind of like, oh, well, what do I do about this? What do I do about that? I found the best way to combat witchcraft is, number one, for you to be totally in Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, so that means that your life has to be fully repentant and prayed up. Why? Because that's where the power comes. And I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says that, you know, that his ministers are a flame of fire. Whenever you are a believer that is filled with the Holy Ghost, then listen, that believes totally in the Word of God, and you are repentant. In other words, you don't have any open sin. You don't have anything between you and Jesus. No witch, no wizard will bother you. And if they happen to make the mistake of bothering you, woe unto them. Why? Because you have the power and authority to not only stop them, but to stop their entire activity and what they're doing in your city, in your, you know, in your town, or in your area, wherever you are. And I know this for a fact because I've witnessed it, I've seen it, and I've personally done it. But now only if you walk in that way are you able to do it. See, a lot of people, you know, are so, you know, especially Christians, you know, oh, well, there's a bunch of witches, they're doing this, they're doing. But you have power and authority over witches if you walk in the truth. They can't do anything. So anything that any witch or wizard may do in a town, and if you are a person that's fully sold out to Jesus, you can go and reverse everything that they did.
Amen.
And that's the truth. And you can go and make it so that they will not do these things again, and you can even call them out of town to send them someplace else, and they have to go.
Yeah,
they have to go. But see, we don't understand fully our authority because the devil says, oh, you're nothing, you're this, you're that, or you don't understand, or you really don't believe. And so what happens is that there's something called the power of auto-suggestion. That means what we tell ourselves, and we believe more what we tell ourselves than that which is true. And so we have to tell ourselves all the time, I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. He said the greater works I will do than what he will do. He says that I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. He said the greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So see, I can be in a room full of witches, and I will guarantee you one thing, they will not touch me. Why?
Amen.
Because they recognize who I am. Because see, witches know who you are in the spirit. They know if you're a Christian who's not really, you know, fully in Jesus. If you're a Christian that's still in sin, still in fornication, still doing these other things. I mean, listen, the evil powers know this. But when they see somebody who's walking righteously, that's when they're definitely afraid, and they will be so afraid of you. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've personally seen it. So, I mean, there are a lot of things we can talk about that you could do, but the main thing is make sure your life is in order with Jesus. Whenever you have been repentant and you are prayed up, and the Lord can show you what these witches and wizards are doing, you go in your prayer in the morning times, you know, because what they do, witches meet between the hours of really 11 p.m. to like 3 a.m.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, that's what they do when they're doing that stuff. You raise up during that time. You begin to command things. You begin to come against their coven. You send confusion. Listen, you can do these things. And it really works. I'm that Pastor Pat, and am I telling her the truth?
That's right.
And see, we don't know that we can do these things because we see so much stuff on TV, you know, from these movies to whatever, about all the demon stuff and witchcraft. Oh, you know, this is going to happen. Listen, if you are a person that fully believes and trusts in Jesus and mm-hmm. obeys his word, they cannot do anything to you. And you have the authority to make sure that things are done to them if they don't repent.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I wanted to hear that. Thank you so much.
Amen.
So don't be afraid of them. They don't have any power. Not at all.
Are you with a group in where you live?
What do you mean with a group?
A prayer group, or are you?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
But some of them just don't believe in stuff like this.
Right.
Okay.
And some of them aren't, they just haven't heard of vortexes and portals and things like that. I have to be careful as to who I ask questions to.
Yeah.
Yes, right. And could I just share the word with you, Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. I just want to share this with you just to, you know, help kind of solidify what I said to you. But because I always want to make sure that, of course, what I speak is the word of God and grounded in the word. Colossians 2:14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let me just explain what that means. What happened was, Jesus, of course, went to the cross. And when he went to the cross, not only was he nailed to the cross, but there were ordinances, things, and the different things that they had said were rules and laws, you know, that you were supposed to follow and so forth. The Bible says that when he was nailed to the cross, they were nailed to the cross. But moreover, what I love is verse 15. It says that having spoiled principalities and powers. Principalities are those dominions and powers that have been set up since the foundation of the world. I mean, these are strong powers. For example, the Queen of Heaven is a very strong demonic power. Leviathan spirit, very strong demonic power. So they are very strong demonic powers that have been set up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says, but he spoiled principalities and powers, okay? The Bible says he made a show of them openly. So you can get the scene. The scene is that Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God, now is here in the earth. And you can almost hear, you know, the whole thing of what's going on. You have the angels in heaven that's looking and seeing all these things that are transpiring as Jesus is on the cross. You have Satan and his demons, the third of the angels that were kicked out of heaven with him, that are cheering because they are believing this thing. Oh, you know, Lucifer, Satan was right. He was right. We were in heaven. You know, he was right. We followed the right person. See, Jesus does not have this power. And you could just almost hear the cheering that's going on. But the Bible says on the third day, he got up with what? All power in his hand. And it was on the third day that he got up, and look, he disgraced them, the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus embarrassed all these evil powers. So they thought that they had him. They thought that they were in control. They thought that they could run the universe. But Jesus came and showed them up, the Bible says. He embarrassed them. He stripped them openly. That's what the Bible means when it says that. And so what happens now is that now not only do the angels in heaven know, but even the demons know that the only real power in the earth, in the universe, in the entire atmosphere and in infinity is Jesus Christ. How do they know? Because he shamed them. They saw this.
Mm-hmm.
So the devil knows they have a short time, the Bible says. All that little stuff that he's doing, little witchcraft, little this, little that, please. The Bible says he disgraced them. He disgraced them. This is the person that we serve. I mean, really, this is Jesus. If we just knew who we were, the Bible says he stripped them of all their power. And I get so excited when I read it. I love that text. Why? Because the power of Jesus is unmatched. It's just unmatched. And that's why I said, as long as you and him, it don't matter what witches are doing in your town, you can raise up and make sure you can run them out of town. Believe me when I tell you.
Yes, I do.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
God bless you. Thank you for calling in.
Okay. God bless you, Miss Pat.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Pat, are you still there? I think maybe she got knocked off. Well, she got knocked off, but I'm going to keep talking until she at least gets back on. And as we were talking about verse 15 in Colossians chapter 2, we're still talking about, on some level, these portals and things that are open. Listen, all the devil does is to create distractions so that we can focus on what he's doing. He can open all the portals and all the things that he wants to open. The Bible is clear who has the power and who has the authority. We even have the authority to close whatever he's opened. The Bible says that, listen, that if God opens a door, no man can shut it. And if he shuts a door, of course, no man can open it. And one of the things I believe, if we are in Christ Jesus, we have the same authority. So if Satan can come open up, you know, a vortex or a portal, you know, because, you know, he's created or he's allowed, you know, his agents to do these things, then you as an agent of the Most High God can go in there and shut it down. You can shut it down. And there's nothing they can do about it. All they can do is watch. Why? Because the same demons, the same powers, the same evil angels were watching the whole scene when Jesus came and disgraced them. They saw it all. They know the power. That's why when they see somebody who walks in the same power, walks in the same authority, they get deathly afraid. And they what? They back off because they recognize, wait a minute, wait a minute. Somebody else greater than us is here. And they recognize this. And the Bible says that, listen, greater work we will do. And listen, that he is greater in us than anything that's in the world. Okay, what kind of power Satan has? It does not match the almighty power of Jesus Christ. And God is omnipotent. You know, he's all-powerful. He's omniscient. You know, he's everywhere. Satan can't be everywhere. But God is everywhere. And, you know, the Bible says even if you make your bed in hell, God's there. So we have to know that we serve a powerful, powerful, powerful God. That's why he is the King of Kings. That's why he is the Lord of Lords. That's why he is the great I Am. That's why he is Jehovah Jireh. That's why he is Jehovah Shalom. That's why he is Adonai. That's why he is God all by himself. That's why. He stripped him of everything. He is the creator. He is the ultimate. And I don't know about any of you, but I get excited when I know who's in my corner. There are people say, oh, this one lady asked me, she said, oh, Judge, have anybody praying for you? Have anybody praying for you? You really need people to pray for you? I said, listen, I got one person that's praying for me. And the Bible says that he's seated on the right hand of the Father, interceding for me every day. I got Jesus Christ himself praying for me. If you got Jesus praying for you, you better know you're going to make it. You better know that you're going to be successful in this Christian walk. I don't care what any demon tells you. If Jesus himself is praying for you, you will be successful. Why? Because the Bible says it's the prayers of the righteous that availeth much. And Jesus is righteous as himself. And if he's praying for you, that's all you need right there. You already know victory is imminent. You already know you've overcome. You already know that you have defeated every power of darkness that has risen up against you. Why? Because Jesus is praying for you. That's why. God is good. God is awesome. And we need to recognize that. Pastor Pat, are you back on? We'll just keep going. We'll just keep going. Praise God for Pastor Pat. We bind Satan in the name of Jesus. Father God, we command that Satan take his hands off this system so that Pastor Pat will get back on this line. We will continue to share with your people in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we thank you, we bless you, and we praise you for magnify. We count it done in Jesus' name, and we command every satanic agent that has come against this program, we bind you now in the name of Jesus. We stop you now in the tracks by the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. We soak these lines in the blood of Jesus. We soak this radio program in the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, already for what you've done in the mighty name of Jesus. And we decree Pastor Pat come back on right now in the name of Jesus. And we bless you for it, God. We magnify you and we lift you up in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And as we speak about just the power of the Almighty God,
We need to know that God has called us to holiness. He has called us to righteousness. He has called us to walk in his ways. He has called us to walk according to his word. He has called us to trust in him. He has called us to represent him, not represent some of him or part of him, but to represent him in total. So that when people see us, they see Jesus. I want to take you over to Galatians, which is one of my favorite texts as well, Galatians chapter 5. And I want to start at verse 16 all the way through, I think, 25. But Galatians 5, verse 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Amen. Amen. I like that text because what it does is that it now begins to delineate. It lays out the differences between what is flesh and what is spirit. So, you know, so if you ever had any question about what you're doing, whether it's right or whether it's wrong, you can always refer to Galatians 5, starting at verse 16, because Galatians 5 lets you know what is right and what is not right. In other words, you know, people don't really understand some of these things that we're going to talk about that are of the flesh. The Bible says the works of the flesh are adultery. Well, that's simple. We know what that is. Having sex with someone, you know, with somebody else's spouse. Fornication, just having sex with anyone who's not your spouse. Uncleanness. You ever seen people who just, you know, are just not clean? The Bible says that's the work of the flesh. That's what it says, uncleanness. Uncleanness. Believe it. That's what the Bible says. That's a work of the flesh. Another work of the flesh is what we call lasciviousness. Lasciviousness. That's just that's what we refer to as a lot of lewd sexual conduct, masturbation, homosexuality, you know, licentiousness, things that are just, you know, really, really lewd sexually. These are things, works of the flesh. Idolatry. What are idols? Things that we worship. It's not just a statue. It could be a statue. It could be money. It could be our families. It could be our jobs. Anything that we put before God, it's an idol. It's an idol. And the Bible is clear that idolatry, anything that I worship, anything that I put above my relationship with God is idolatry, and that is a work of the flesh. That's what it is. The next one is witchcraft. Well, we know what that is. We know what that is. And that is that, you know, people that are working against you and your destiny. But witchcraft is also this, the spirit of rebellion. The Bible says that the spirit of rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. In other words, when God tells us to do something and we refuse to do it, we're going to do this thing our way. That's witchcraft. It's a rebellious spirit. Rebellious spirit is a witchcraft. Manipulation is a witchcraft. I want to make this person do what I want them to do. That's witchcraft. And that's the work of the flesh. Hatred. when you hate people. I hate doing this. That's a word we should eliminate just from our vocabulary. Why? It's a work of the flesh, and it's a word of the flesh. Variance. That's being, you know, contentious or in opposition with somebody. Variance. Emulations. That's like jealousy. You're jealous of someone. You're envying somebody. All these things are works of the flesh. Wrath. When you're completely angry with somebody, when you're angry, it's like an insensible anger. It's like a very violent anger is wrath. You ever seen people that really get angry, but when they get angry, they want to become violent? Wrath, work of the flesh. Strife. Strife is simply selfish ambition. You know, it's something that you want to do regardless. It's just my selfish ambition, and I'm striving for it. Selfish ambition. I don't care who I knock over. I don't care who I hurt. These are works of the flesh. Seditions. That means dissensions, you know, divisions, different little cliques, different little groups. Heresies. Heresies are things or doctrines that are against God. When you become a heretic, something that you just is adamantly against God. Works of the flesh, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Yeah, revelings is partying and things of that sort. The Bible says these things are works of the flesh. And if they are works of the flesh, they are not the Spirit. Because the Bible says that the Spirit and the flesh are at odds with each other. So if you are in the Spirit, you cannot be in the flesh. Similarly, if you are in the flesh, you cannot be in the Spirit. That's what the Word says. And then it talks about what it means to walk in the Spirit. In other words, the characteristics or behavior or the traits of those who are in the Spirit. The Bible says that they have love. Verse 22, love. It's amazing. Joy, peace. See, these things are self-explanatory. Long-suffering, gentleness. You're not harsh. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That means self-control, self-discipline. The Bible says against these things, there is no law. That's awesome. There's no law against love. There's no law against joy. There's no law against any of these things. Why? Because these things are of the Spirit. So that if I'm in the Spirit, I should always possess these things. And the Bible says, and they that are Christ, what happened to those people that are in Christ? They have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust thereof. So if I'm in Christ, then I have crucified my flesh. I have crucified my affections. I have crucified my lust if I am in Christ. Well, how do you know if you're not in Christ? Always go to Galatians. Always go to Galatians 5:19 through 24. And you can always look up your conduct to make sure that it's in order with the Word of God. Am I a gentle person? And am I a meek person? You know, am I a loving person? You know, listen, am I a person of self-control? Or does things control me? All these things are relevant to our walk with Jesus. Because the Bible says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's what it says. So if we're in the Spirit, we have to walk in the Spirit if we're living in the Spirit. And the Bible says that we cannot be desirous of vainglory or provoking one another. We have to walk according to the plan. Follow the plan. What happens is when we don't follow the plan, we get off track and we get off of focus. And we cannot do what we need to be doing. And that's the problem. That's been the problem with so many of us as Christians. So I'm just speaking to us as Christians that we have to repent. In other words, turn from our wicked ways, vowing never to go back to them. Never to go back to them. That's what we have to do. so that we're able to fully walk and follow God and obey Him and trust Him.
Hello, can you hear me now? Hello, can you hear me now? Type in if you can hear me. Type in to see if you can hear me. Hello? Okay, you can hear me now? I don't know what happened. The mic, I had to get a different mic. The other mic just stopped. So if you can hear me, everybody's hand come up. Yep, they can hear. Okay. Well, I don't know what happened to that mic. It's a brand new mic, and it just shut down while the judge was speaking. So we'll go on with the program then. Everybody okay up on the chat room? I'm just checking. Everybody up on the chat room. They can hear me now. Okay. Well, we were gonna teach, and Judge Paul came up, and she couldn't stay long, so I wanted to give her an opportunity to speak to you. But then she couldn't hear me at all, and yet I plugged off and signed back in, and she still couldn't hear me. So something was evidently wrong with the mic. So I plugged a new mic in, and you say that you can hear me. So what we're going to do is we're going to continue to teach you about the stargates, because it's an interesting thing. Now, you have a man in that calls himself Peter Wagner. And Peter Wagner is a leader in what they call now the Third Wave Movement. And the Third Wave Movement is a movement that that is really a worldwide movement. And I thank you for your prayers, Margaret. This worldwide movement consists of many streams, they call them, of Christianity. And these various streams, let's see, there would be Peter Wagner, there would be the prophetic movement, there would be the people that have all these angels appearing to them and speaking to them and ministering in their meetings. There would be Todd Bentley, things like that. So, but the key that I'm going to zero in on today is a man called Peter Wagner. And Peter Wagner is 80 years old now. He's been around a long time. And tell you the truth, until Todd Bentley came on the scene, I didn't know that Peter Wagner was into anything, because I've been so busy, you know, in my own ministry. But lo and behold, he came down when Todd Bentley was uncovered as drinking liquor every night on the platform in Lakeland. He was having an affair with one of the workers in his field there, in his ministry. And what happened was Peter Wagner brought a whole bunch of ministers down. They anointed him, and they told him, they said, you are going to open up portals all over the world. And they anointed him into their group. And then after that, they discovered that he was in adultery and actually under alcohol every time he went on the platform down in Lakeland. And they decided to pull away their anointing from this man. However, Rick Joyner picked him up eventually and tried to so-called recover him, but Rick Joyner isn't all there himself, because Rick Joyner is a Knights of Malta, and he's a New Age minister too. So what we're seeing is these New Age occulted Christians, they say that they have the ability to open up portals. There's a veil placed by God between our world and the mystical realms that separate us from the empire of Satan. And God did that for our own protection. He separated Satan's world from our world for our own protection. And so the book of Ephesians describes it as, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And that's what we're up against, and it's the powers of darkness. And what seems to have happened is these men somehow or other tapped in to the powers of darkness that has gotten control of their lives, and they are called Christian mystics. That's what I call them, and other people too. So Peter Wagner is the head of a group that they're called the New Apostolic Reformation. And what they do is they work through these stargates that they open, synchromysticism, and they're wizards of the New Age Christ, or the New Age Light of Lucifer. And they're heretics. You cannot call them anything else but heretics. And they work their powers through the New Age trance, through spells, portals, gateways to the ancient gods, and through transformation. Now, what does transformation mean? Transformation, that word means to change. And so what they're after is to change you from the Christianity that you know. If you know Jesus Christ as the base of Christianity, and if you know the Word of God as the King James Version, and you believe the Word of God is true, they want to change you into some sort of cosmic Christianity, something that we would call it preaching another Jesus, another gospel by another spirit. And of course, that other spirit is called Kundalini. So I call them star walkers. And they look to the universe instead of to Jesus. And they teach that all pathways lead back to God. Now, without Jesus as the center of your faith and the Word of God as the center of your standards, what happens is that means that you have switched from being a Christian to becoming a witch. And it means that you have now centered into the New Age religion or the Cosmic Christ is what we call them. Now, the Cosmic Christ is a different Christ than what you know. And so what these people do is they worship pagan gods. They transferred their faith from the God that we know, and they see themselves as key higher echelon people that are going to change the Christian church totally and they're going to eventually rule over the world. And so Peter Wagner says, quote, this is a year, this couple of years ago, he's retired, but he's given Chuck Pierce his ministry. So this ministry is still going. He said, this is the year to open the gates. Most of us think that the gates is a physical place that will appear in front of you. And it will appear right in front of you. Because we saw one appear in our church, and Brother Bill saw it, and so we bound it, and it just disappeared just as quickly as it appeared. So you've got to know that when you see things, that you've got to react from a spiritual point of view. And so he goes on and he says, however, the first gate that we must go through is heaven's gate. This is where we enter boldly into the throne room and receive super abounding grace so that we can leap through the place of the new in earth. Now, there are no scriptures that he can give you to verify what he just said. He can take some scriptures and twist them to make it seem that what he just said is true. But God has never given a human being the knowledge or the authority, I guess the word is, to go and open up stargates. And heaven's gate, it has a gate in heaven. We see it in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And we see that God always initiated the gate opening. It wasn't done by man. We see, excuse me, Jacob's ladder, and that gate was opened by the hand of God. We can also see when God spread the manna on the face of the earth, that it said they received manna from heaven. And so that gate was opened by the hand of God. It wasn't any human being that opened that gate. And so Wagner's teaching concerning the opening gates and entering in heaven's gates is a demonic teaching. It's dangerous. And it's powerfully full of deceptions, and these are the spiritual activities that will steal souls in this hour. He is a New Age believer presenting his spiritual alchemy to the body of Christ. And he says, this is the year to open the gate. One gate that we must swing wide is the gate of change. Now, remember what I told you. The word transformation is change. And this is what the political people say, like when Obama was running for office. If you remember, what did he run on? Change. We all want change. And now that we've got Obama's, let me ask you something, Lorraine and the Marine, and we're supposed to be learning something here. And if you're going to sit there and have the, I love you, but if you're going to sit there and have a conversation between you three, then other people cannot learn, okay? You see, the thing is, this is our Wednesday prayer meeting. It's not where we just come on here and have conversations until the show is over. So listen to the teaching, and maybe you'll learn some things. You already know what you know, but there'll be some things that you might learn if you'll listen. Okay, I love you. but I've noticed that all evening long that there's been very little listening to the what was going on Blog Talk, and we're just wasting our time to come up here and talk if people are going to come up here and not listen. Okay? Okay? There are people that come up here every week, and this is where they get their Bible study. So you're in a Bible study for right now. You're not in a chat room. Okay? It's okay, Lorraine, but I'm trying to tell you that it's disturbing when the teaching's going on and people are not listening. Okay? And so I'm just asking you to listen to the teaching. If you want to go in a chat room, there's plenty of chat rooms that you can go on and chat back and forth to each other. That's not what this is about. It's about to ask questions. It's not about vitamins and foods and pharmaceuticals. And I'm just looking at the chat room now. It's not about these things right now. It's about serious things that people need to know so that they won't fall into error. So now I've warned you, and I'm going to be watching to see what you do with what I just told you. Okay? And so now, goodbye, Lorraine. Goodbye. You see, some people get offended, that's fine, but the point being is that if you come up to a prayer meeting and a teaching, that's what you come up here for. Now, we have time for people to talk on chat room, on the chat room, and I interact on the chat room, but not during somebody's teaching. That, I mean, I just thought it was very rude. And of course, whoever this Marine was just totally taking over the whole show. And that's not what this is about. This is about teaching the body of Christ so that they can survive in this last hour of the church. And Lorraine, you can ask questions, but at the time when we open the chat room for that segment, okay? So I just I watched it and I just had to say something. I'm very, very sorry. So Peter Wagner is a New Age believer, and he's presenting his spiritual alchemy. Now, what is alchemy? It means to change. Actually, in the olden days, it meant to change chemicals and try to make gold out of other things to create gold. But he has what I'm calling a spiritual alchemy, which he's trying to change the body of Christ to a new faith and a new religion. And so he says, in this year, to open the gates, one gate that we must swing wide open is the gate of change. Most of us that think that the gate is a physical place that will appear in front of you, and it will. But if a whirlwind or a stargate appears in front of you, you better bind it up, because behind it is not God, okay? God doesn't do that. It's a New Age satanic thing that happens, and I'll get into that in a little bit. However, the first gate that we must go through is Heaven's Gate. This is where we enter in, now this is Peter Wagner talking, into the throne room and receive super abounding grace so that we can leap through a place of the new in the earth. Now, we don't go through the throne room through a stargate. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 that we can go to the gate, through the gate in the spirit to Jesus Christ, and he's connected with us. There's no stargates involved in any of this. It's a supernatural connection between real Christians and Jesus Christ. And so you've got to be careful, because the Bible says that in these last days, if possible, even the elect would be deceived. And it's not possible to deceive the elect if they're committed to Jesus and submitted to Jesus, and if they are watching very carefully the places they go, what they listen to, and what they do. And so he goes on to say, and we're talking about Peter Wagner, as the time draws ever nearer, we're all called to be watchmen on the wall. Ezekiel 3:17. Now, I say that scripture is very, very true. We're supposed to be watchmen. But that's why we're having this teaching tonight, so that you can awaken and you can become a watchman, so that you can understand that there are wolves in the sheep pen. And they're not looking in, they're in, and that you need to be very, very careful. And anytime anybody takes the Bible and twists it, you always have to remember that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, and it's the promises of God of one, the Messiah, and Christian leaders, I'm telling you, must return to the Word of God. And so, as I've already mentioned, Jesus is the one that opens the stargate to his throne room. No man can activate it, and no man has the power aside from God to do that, because God hasn't given us that power. It's his. He says that there'll be some that will try to climb up, but they won't get in. So John 10:1-5 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door into the sheep fold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So Jesus is calling these contemporary ministers who are walking in forbidden territory thieves and robbers. And he's saying that he is the only gatekeeper, the only gatekeeper to heaven. So you got to be very careful who you're following today, because there's a lot of flesh seekers of spiritual pleasures and thrills, and star walkers leading masses into the ways of hell. And these contemporary Babylonian powers that they're seeking, they're calling them stargates and portals, and they're claiming that they are going to change the nations. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. They are not going to change the nations. They might think that they have power, but all they have is demonic power. The nations are going to be changed by a very powerful inside group they're called the shadow government, and they are in control by some very, very powerful men. Rothschild, Rockefeller, and people like that. And these little peons are just little pods in a shell that these people probably wouldn't even speak to if they knew them. But they're all puffed up because they're following a false religious devil that's lying to them. And I'm warning you not to follow them, because they're not going to change anything but your faith from Jesus to your faith to some sort of a cosmic God that you that you don't want to follow, believe me. It's the highway to hell. And so they, Jesus never told these people to open mystical stargates to change nations. He told them to go preach the gospel, to tell the good news. Their Savior has come to deliver them from the powers of Satan. That's what the gospel is. And it's not men trying to prove that they have a lot of supernatural powers because of the fact that the gates that they're opening to the third heaven, and when they open those gates, they invite fallen angels to the earth to lead revivals in Christian churches. And they invite these fallen angels to heal the people, the sick, to cast out devils, and to seek after mammon for financial wealth, and to preach witchcraft. And God never told us to do that. And I'm going to tell you right now, these great big revivals that you've seen carrying on, like Todd Bentley in Lakeland, had 10,000 Christians there every night. And whenever he would go into the meeting, things looked like they were happening. But to tell you the truth, nothing was really happening, because when Todd Bentley says that all these miracles happened, what happened was when the secular media, that's ABC and NBC, people like that, put him on their shows, Geraldo for one, he couldn't produce one paper of a healing, nothing. He had no proof that what he was doing down there was even working. And so that's what I'm telling you. God wants you to learn the difference between what they're doing and what real true Christianity does. For instance, we heal the sick up here on this radio show, and we cast out devils. And we, if the Lord tells us to prophesy, we will prophesy. But the truth is that we have to know the truth in order for us to be set free. And so if there's a group of men and women preaching error in the Christian church, then I'm going to tell you, you better know the truth, or you might not make heaven. Because if you get up underneath a lie, Jesus said that both will fall into the ditch. Now, I'm going to go back to the chat room for a moment. You see, people are sent into the chat room to keep your minds from understanding the Word of God. And if they can get you caught up in a conversation, Lorraine, for instance, then you can't hear the teaching. I know, because I watched the chat room. I couldn't talk because for some reason my mic had stopped working. But if you are up there talking to two people that have already left this board, they say, I know this isn't part of the teaching, but bye. He hasn't listened to any teaching to know what we're even teaching. And neither has this other Marine. And both of them have taken off. And so the point being is, it's not a question of asking questions. You've been around a long time, Lorraine, and you know that we talk to you. We invite you to come up on the phones. I've talked to you on the telephone. But I can't let three people just take over the chat room and dominate it like that was being done. And by dominating by two people that I've never seen before, We don't know what these people believe. We don't know whether they are witches, warlocks. We don't know anything about them. This is the first night that we have ever seen them. And so we watch the chat room because we have people that come up here that we have to protect their souls too, because we have some people that are mature, but we have some babies that come up here too. So nobody's trying to hurt you or stop you. We're just saying that when teachings are going on, then listen. If you were sitting in a church and the pastor was sitting up there preaching a gospel and three people sat on the front row and just started having a conversation, that would be offensive to the preacher. And that's exactly what was going on here, you see. And so we're not coming against you. We love you, and we don't want you to go away. We just want you to understand to be very careful. When you come, don't talk to a bunch of people that we don't know, that are occupying the whole thing. And so one of these little people have a little cat, Swabby. I've never seen him before, but I know what a cat can be, okay? And that's all I'm going to say about that. Now, let's get on. We forgive you. Let's get on. Amen. Amen. And so, we take authority over everything that has gone on over this chat room, and we cover everybody with the blood of Jesus. And we break the powers of any witches and warlocks or anybody that's come up to interrupt with this program. And in Jesus' name, we forbid anyone from working powers over this show and over anyone on the program in Jesus' name and over the message. And we give you praise and glory that you're a mighty God and that you're able to do above all that we can even think of. We ask that you bless Lorraine and bless all of the people up on the chat room and clear everybody's mind so that they can hear what the Lord is saying to the church. And we'll give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And so in John 10:2, the Bible says, "But he that enteth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opposeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his sheep own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out." And so Jesus is saying in John 10:2, that, hey, I am the shepherd of this door. He's the shepherd of the sheep, and he's guarding that door, that these people that think that they are so mighty, because their movement has gotten very, very big, because in most cases, many of your churches have let these men in, and they have taken over whole churches and denominations and movements because of blinded pastors. And the pastors just didn't know what was even going on. And so only invited guests can enter the door, the stargate of the sheepfold of Jesus. You can't just say, well, I'm going to open up a stargate and go up and see Jesus today like they're doing. It just doesn't work that way. You are practicing, if you're opening up stargates, you are practicing a satanic thing. And that satanic thing is practiced in witchcraft, and governments are practicing it. Governments are trying to open the stargates to Eden. The stargates to over there in Iraq, in Iran, old stargates. because they want to pull in those old demons to help them win the new world order. And so just be very careful if somebody invites you to go into the third heaven, because they are wizards and they will lead you into the dangerous pathways of the wolves. And if you're following these deceived Stargate chasers and deluded prophets and prophetesses, you must repent and you must ask Jesus for deliverance. Now, we've had a lady that's come up on this radio show that got somehow involved with some of the people that were messing around with these false prophets, and they were mapping their city. And what does that really mean? It means that they take Christians to the most demonic places in the city, and they go there and pray. Well, this particular woman was a baby Christian, and they took her to some of the demonic places, and she started being pulled up into Stargates, and she went up to two different Stargates, and she saw old, creepy-looking demons up there. And she came up here, and we've been ministering to her. And so it's very dangerous. And they told her, said, you lost your soul, and you're never going to get your soul back. And we're helping her to learn to walk with Jesus so that she can retain her spiritual position in Christ, so that these demons can't just take her over at will. And so that's why we're trying to teach on this tonight. And that's why the devil wanted to stop the teaching. Amen. And so in John 10:4, he said, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, and a stranger they will not follow, but flee from him, for they knoweth not the voice of strangers. So in other words, you're pretty safe if you follow Jesus and you follow his voice and you follow his word. But you're not safe when you follow a bunch of crazy Christians that are going through Stargates, or they have familiar spirits coming to them, calling themselves angels, ministering in their meetings, causing all sorts of supernatural things to happen, like gold dust to fall, which when it was taken and analyzed, it wasn't even real gold, and false gems. I'm going to show you a few of those angels before I get off tonight. So God put barriers between his world and Satan's world and our world. And he just never gave any person permission or the right to enter gateways and cross over and travel between these two worlds. It's just a lying devil. Now, there's one group of people that can spiritually go through heaven's gates, they say, and that is those who are born again Christians. But the point is they are out to steal your soul, and God has not told us to astral project at any time into any heavenly places. Amen. And then in Matthew 27:51, the Bible says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now, what was that about? It was that God used to come down from heaven, and he would go behind the veil into the Holy of Holies. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, what happened was the veil was broken that separated God's people from him. And so, in other words, true believers in Jesus Christ do not have to open a portal to the third heaven, because we already have direct access to Jesus, who is sitting on his throne, connecting to us, word who believe, according to Ephesians chapter 1. And we are sitting with Jesus right now as we're studying his word in heavenly places, according to Ephesians chapter 2. So we don't have to astral project or soul travel like witches and warlocks do in Satan's kingdom to open up demonically inspired portals to reach the third heaven, which is has been conjured up by very wicked, blinded men and devils in charge of wicked men's imaginations for them to snatch souls. And that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. And this veil that was rent, it opens up the gate to Jesus sitting on his throne to his believers. In other words, witches, warlocks, and people in the world, they do not have access to the throne of Jesus Christ. And our salvation gives us our presence before his throne. And so in Hebrews 10:19-23, the Bible says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, the high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart, in our bodies washed with the pure water of the word. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful." And he is faithful to all and only born-again believers. And we are the ones that are invited to go before the Holy of Holies in the blood of Jesus. And like I said, you don't have to astral project to do that. Amen. So what we have here is we have a bunch of modern Christians that have been through a lot of sci-fi movies and a lot of crazy television witchcraft movies that have invented a new faith that's based on witchcraft. It's a beam me up, Scotty. And because of it, the church is changing. It's sort of like what I call a Star Wars type Christianity being formed by Wagner and others, and is hilarious in a way, but extremely sad in another. People are being ensnared by the fantasy of minds, ghoulish, power-hungry, self-centered men and women who are trying to establish a new church foundation. Now, the foundation that I follow is Jesus Christ is the foundation, and his word is my roadmap. I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ was meant to last until his return. However, Jesus prophesied in the army of deceivers would appear just before his return that would try to deceive the very elect. Jesus said that these people would fall away from the faith. And so that's why we come up here to teach you, so that you will not be found in that large falling away number. Now, in Matthew 24:24, the Bible says, "For there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Let me break that down so that you get it. A lot of pastors say even the elect's going to be deceived, not in the Bible that I know and love. If God can't take care of the elect, who needs to follow him? This is what the word says. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Insomuch that, now listen, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. If it were possible, comma, they shall deceive the elect. Now that scripture means that if it were possible means it is not possible that they shall deceive the very elect. Now you go in your Bible and you study Matthew 24:24, because you're going to need that scripture in the days ahead. Now I'm going to stop just for a moment. And I'm going to come back up and see what we're doing now up on the chat room. Okay? Now, are you listening? Are you listening? It doesn't look like it. Again, it doesn't look like it. We've got some conversation going on. You see, I'm not watching the chat when I'm teaching. I'm teaching, okay? And so you have to listen. You can't hold two thoughts in your mind at one time, you see. You have to listen or you won't get it. Amen? Are you Scottish, fast one? That's a Scottish term because Jeanette's Scottish. Amen. She lives over in Scotland, and she was here visiting me a couple of weeks ago, and we miss you, Jeanette. So, in other words, Jesus is the truth. You lost the sound? Anybody else lose the sound? Has everybody lost the sound? Have you lost the... No, put your hands up if you can hear. She may need to refresh. Bonnie can hear me. Somebody tell her how to refresh her computer. They hear some buzzing in the background. Anybody hear any buzzing in the background? Loud and clear over here, they say. Well, God is good all the time, isn't he? I hear you loud and clear. Eagle's wings. Thank you. I see hands going up. Amen. Okay, are you getting a hold of this teaching? Because it's very deep. It's not the usual lightweight Bible study that you're in here tonight. But yes. Okay, now I'm going to go back and teach you a little more. Now, C. Peter Wagner and Ben F. Gray wrote, quote, "The new apostolic reformation," and that's the name of their group, "is an extraordinary work of the Holy Spirit that is changing the shape of Christianity globally." Now, did you get that? That's global New World Order double talk is what you call that. They're changing Christianity and its shape. In other words, they're changing the shape of the church globally is what they just said. And then they go on to say, "It is truly a new day. The church is changing." And what are they changing? They go on to say, new names, new methods, new worship expressions. The Lord is establishing the foundation of the church for the new millennium. This foundation is built upon the apostles and prophets. Now, who is the church built on? What foundation is the Christian church built on, people? Some of you may know scripture that Jesus is the foundation of the church. I see that Brother Bill's gone. And so any of you that are left, Bill's on the line. He must have got knocked off. If you know the scripture of Jesus is the foundation of the church, that's my question for those of you that might have your Bibles. You might look it up and type that scripture in for me. Amen. So see, they're telling on themselves here. They are telling you, and this is Peter Wagner, that the church is going to be a global church, a one global church, and that it's going to be a new day, a new thought, a new way of thinking. The church is changing. It's got new names, new methods, new worship expressions. The Lord is establishing, they say. The Lord, in my Bible, has already established the foundations of the church, and that's Jesus Christ. But what they are saying, they said, the Lord is establishing the foundations of the church for the new millennium. This foundation is built upon apostles and prophets. No sirree. Even when the apostles and the prophets were walking around after the death of Jesus, they never said that their day that the church was built upon them. Peter said, don't worship me. I'm just a man like you are. He said, worship him. They always appointed their finger towards the throne of Jesus Christ. Now, listen to what these men further have said. Note that this new foundation that they talk about is built upon the wicked minds of men and women that Peter Wagner and Gary call apostles and prophets. And of course, they are chosen by Wagner. And this new global church that Wagner is building, he says, is changing new names, such as naming churches Destiny. You got a Destiny church in your community? What about a community church? One of our big churches changed its name a couple of months ago from New Life Fellowship to New Life Community Center. And see, people sitting in there, they don't even know anything different has happened because they're blinded by the preaching of these false prophets. A church that I used to minister to down in St. Augustine, ministered down there for years, changed its name to Destiny. Now, it's a Masonic name for their gods. Destiny is a name of a god. A lot of people don't realize that, but it is. It's a Masonic god. And new methods. And the new methods are opening up stargates and inviting demons. Oh, I'm sorry, they call them angels, but actually they're fallen demons. Prophesying lies, worshiping planets, new worship expressions, inviting native pagans to their meetings to play their drums, Native Americans, Indians, for instance. When Todd Bentley was working down here in Lakeland, he had all of the churches called white garment churches. And all of those churches are witchcraft churches from Africa. But they're okay. They're spiritual. right? And then goddess worship, god worship styles, like we talked last week on the trance dancing stuff, those are new worship styles to them. Some even walk around with shepherd's staffs and real swords to do battles with their imagined enemies. One guy called himself a prophet, and his name was Matthew, and he used to go around the country with a shepherd's staff, and he would hit the grounds of various cities for God's judgment to fall on them. He even came to Jacksonville and struck my church and struck the Atlantic Ocean, that a great big tsunami would come and kill me. So I know who these people are, because they've been after me now for some years. But I walk in God's protection. Amen. And so naturally, this is all motivated by the powers of darkness to infiltrate real Christians and to cause them to stumble into their religious insanity of their new churches, new ways of worship, new structures of faith, and following false prophets and following this international coalition of apostles, which are headed by C. Peter Wagner, but now Chuck Pierce, because Wagner's 80 and he retired about a year or so ago. And it's the most influential purveyor of the new apostolic reformation, a term coined by Wagner. This organization is really an extension of the new order, the latter rain, whose influence mentors include William Branham, Franklin Hall, Halton Brothers, and more recently, Bill Harmon, Paul Kane, who is a disgraced alcoholic homosexual, Bob Jones, who is a perverted false prophet who demanded women to take their robes off when he prophesied over them. And it comes from the doctrines of the latter rain movement, which really came from William Branham, and it also is a heretical group of people that have been able to pull all these people together to make one big movement for the great falling away in this time. So these are some of the teachings, and they're very serious. They're very serious things going on. And so the point being is that you must be aware. Now, you can find some of my articles. I'm just going to type remnantradio.org. If you type there, he's got my newsletters up there, and you can read my newsletters. And you can also find me on patholiday.com, which will take you over to Miracle Internet Church .com, which has newsletters, television programs, MP3s, all kinds of good things that will help you to grow in the spirit, and it will help you to be aware of things. Now, I have a call, and so we're going to take this call. 601, you're on the air.
Good evening, Dr. Pat. Can you hear me?
I hear you perfectly. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I just have a request for a prayer for my ex-brother-in-law. I just found out that he's in the hospital, and he's been in the hospital for about a week with lung cancer.
Oh. Is he a born-again Christian?
I'm not sure.
Well, you got to make sure. You got to just go to the hospital bed and ask him.
I'm going to go in the morning.
But just be bold and just say, I was praying about you last night, and I want to know, are you ready to meet God?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Jesus is the way. And all you have to do is to repent, and he'll forgive you of your sins. But we'll pray right now. Okay, everybody on the chat room, raise your little yellow hands in agreement, and we're going to pray for this man in the hospital. In the hospital. And he's got lung cancer, and she's not real. She doesn't know whether he's saved or not. And so we've got to agree in prayer that God will save this man. And she's going to be bold, and we've got to pray for God's anointing to fall upon her so that she'll be brave to ask him if he's saved. And the way you pray for him, you just say, Dear Lord, I'm a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I ask you to be my personal Savior and come into my heart. And you know Jesus does that. He backs his word up, and he uses our mouths to preach his word. So this is your opportunity to preach and to just pray with him. And Father, we lift up this man, and we ask that you have mercy on him. And we take authority over every devil that is over his life. And we bind him. We disconnect him from his mind. And we ask you that you will clear his mind when my sister goes to his bedside, and that she will hear, and he will hear. And Lord, just anoint her to gently pray for him and lead him into your kingdom. We forbid any devil from stealing his soul. Satan, you will take your hands off of him, and we forbid you to take him out of this world unsaved. And Father, we ask that you touch his lungs, and that you'll have mercy, and that you'll not only save him, but that you will heal him also. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay. God bless. I have a call at 7:06. 7:06.
Yes.
You're on
yes.
the air.
Yes. Hello? This is Rhonda. I'm the one that was taken up in the Stargate that you prayed for last week.
I remember.
Yes. Yeah. And every time I touch my head, last week we asked that God would seal me with the Holy Spirit in my mind. And every time I touch my head, it tells me I'm Beast Babylon. And in me and Margaret were praying because I was feeling dry in the Holy Spirit, and this was saying these things to me. And we asked for the Lord to fill me fresh and new with the Holy Spirit and connect me to the true and real Jesus, not this cosmic Christ. And instead of getting more of Christ in me, it's like it rent what I had out of me, stripped garments off of me, and has scalped me somehow in the spirit realm. So I was wanting to you in your chat room to pray that I would get rid of this cosmic Jesus so I could have the real, true, and living Christ in a relationship with him.
Okay. Well, everybody in the chat room come into a one accord. And Satan, you are a liar, and you are the father of it. And you have no power over this woman's head. Rhonda is a child of God. And I cut your cords to her head, and I break the power of the cosmic Christ in Jesus' name. And all of these false religious devils, I take authority over Leviathan in her mind. I command a Leviathan that you will let her go in the name of Jesus instantly and immediately. I command all of your heads and your cords to be cut
your chains. I bind your mouths up and gag with the blood of Jesus. And I forbid you to continue your activity in her mind. And Father God, we cover her mind with the blood of Jesus. And we put your circle of the blood and the wall of fire around her. Now, you devils, you come out of her mind right now. And this talking devil that tells her these things, you come out. You get into the cave. You come out 100%. You come out. You have no authority. You have no power. And you will leave instantly and immediately. Every one of you, get into the cage. The blood of Jesus is against you. And we forbid this harassment. And Father, I ask that you send your most powerful angels to surround my sister, to war and defeat these devils that have come to steal her, in Jesus' name. You are a liar and the father of it, and you have no power over a child of God. And Rhonda has asked Jesus to save her, and I've heard her. And in the name of Jesus, you get up and out immediately now. Get out. Get out. Come up now. Any witch or wizard that has hold of her in any way, we cut your ley lines, your astral projecting lines, and we command you to get into the cage. All the devils, soul powers, you can no longer have any effect over the life. In Jesus' name. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. Cough it out. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. This lying devil that calls himself the beast. What did he call himself?
The beast Babylon.
Okay, you beast Babylon, I bind you up right now in the name of Jesus, and you're just a devil. There is no way that the beast of Babylon is going to inhabit a little woman like Wanda. A beast of Babylon only fools around with the upper echelons of witchcraft. And so you lying devil, you're just a nobody devil. You're nothing great. All you are is a fallen devil, a fallen spirit that has no power. And we command you to release her instantly and immediately. Come up and out. Come up now. All of your corpse cut. All of your corpse and every talking devil, come out. Every talking devil in the mind, come out. Come out. The blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. You have to obey instantly, immediately, now. Take another deep cough and make it go out of the mind now. Come out of that mind. Come out of the mind. Father, we put her armor on her tonight, and we put the head of the armor is salvation, and we place the helmet of salvation on her head in the name of Jesus, and we forbid the devils to find any kind of an opening in her life. We take authority over all the spirits of religion and doubt, and you come out immediately. Religion and doubt, come out. Come out. You have no authority. No authority in Jesus' name. You stop trying to make her a victim. She is not a victim. She is a child of the King. Now leave instantly and immediately. In Jesus' name. Leave. Get out. The blood of Jesus is against you. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over this lady. And you have no power. No power. Not even a little thimbleful. You're just a dumb, stupid devil. That's all you are. There may be some Christians that are stupid, but we aren't. So you just get right out. Get out. Get out now, instantly. Immediately. Instantly. Leave. Mark 16:15-19. Matthew says, saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose shall be loosed in heaven. Now, Lord Jesus, we bind these devils, and we ask that you loose them in heaven and on earth, and that the gates of hell shall not prevail. We ask that you drive these devils out, totally out, in the name of Jesus, right now. Totally clean this vessel, totally clean, totally free from the powers of the devil. And Satan, you are a liar, and you are the father of it. For if he cometh, preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might bear with him. And in the name of Jesus, she has not received another Jesus. You get out of her instantly and immediately. Now. Now. John 10:10. The thief cometh not, but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. And I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And so we bind the thief that is trying to steal this woman's soul instantly. Get up and out. Get up and out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 11:4. For if he cometh and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, and if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might bear where. And I say, Lord Jesus. Hello?
Lord Jesus.
I renounce. All the words of these devils.
All the words of these devils.
And I command the legions of them.
I command the legions of them
to be bound.
To be bound.
And to leave me right now, instantly.
And to leave me right now, instantly.
Okay, legion, you come up and out right now. Take a deep breath. Come up and out. Come up and out. Legion, come out. Come out. Come out. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine into them. Come out. Obey the name of Jesus. Legion, we're not going to pick you out one by one. You come out, just like Jesus did. He's standing right in front of her, and you have to obey him. You have to obey him. In Jesus' name, I bind all of the corrupted spirits, and I command you to go. Everyone, all of the deceptive spirits, the lying spirits, the blinding spirits, the afflicting spirits, every devil, get up and out. Get out of the mind and get out of the body instantly and immediately. You have no authority. You have no power. You will leave instantly, immediately, and you will leave now. Now. Instantly. Immediately. Leave. 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 In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The blood of the Lamb is against you. Take a deep cough and breathe the Holy Spirit. Now breathe in the fire of the Holy Spirit. We're fixing to get off the air.
Okay.
Take a deep cough and breathe in the Holy Spirit. Fire. Holy Spirit of fire, go in and protect her and to burn all of the other spirits out and immerse her in your Holy Ghost. And we'll give you the glory. We'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name. The blood. The blood. How are you feeling?
Jesus, I'm feeling much lighter.
And we forbid those to come back.
Okay.
We forbid them to come back in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you will go to the feet of Jesus to be judged. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and glory for what you've done. And Father, surround her with the biggest warring angels that you have. Make devils accountable to the name of Jesus. Okay, Rhonda, we'll talk to you next week. Okay? Rhonda? I guess I lost her.
I am Jehovah, the mighty God.
Bye-bye, guys. I'll see you all Friday night, 7:30 p.m. Marshall Perot will be here, and we love you. God bless.